Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, that's all I got. I got nothing left in me. Nothing left in me. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you. Quick update, Jay Cargill going to join us in the next segment of the show. Turns out, shockingly, Zoe and I aren't the only people in the world who want to talk to the current reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Women's Champion.
When you're in demand, I mean, you know, that's how that works.
Yeah. So Jay Cargill will join us in the next segment. We will back that one up with Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. Then, moving the chains, 9 o'clock straight up, round number one of the high school football playoffs are upon us. They'll walk us through the games around the upstate of South Carolina tonight, 9:20, the illustrious Denton Day of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the firing of Mike Shula, where Clemson goes after the loss to Duke, and, of course, a handful of very big games taking place across the college football landscape this weekend. So Denton Day at 9:20, final segment of the show. Of course, Lonzo and I will, as always, give you our thoughts on the NFL games of the weekend upcoming. Give you our picks, our predictions, our prognostications when we get to that point. But I do want to walk through some more of the college football games upcoming this weekend while we wait for WWE champ Jade Cargill in studio in the next segment. We talked BYU-Texas Tech. Again, I think that's an eliminator game for Texas Tech. Maybe not for BYU, but I do think it creates a world where BYU cannot lose again. I do not know if. The Big 12 and the ACC, listen, we started the year, and I genuinely thought, and I wasn't wrong, but I also wasn't right, and I like to thank Mario Cristobal and Dabo Swinney for that. I really thought the ACC was going to be a very good conference this year. And I'm not saying that they're not. Look, Virginia is 8-1, Georgia Tech's 8-1, Pitt 7-2, Louisville 7-1. And it's a pretty steep dive down to 6-3 SMU, 5-3 Duke, 6-2 Miami, 3-6 Virginia Tech, whatever. I really thought that the top, but that was also somewhat reliant on there's no way that Florida State is going to be a 4 or 5 win football team again this year. There is no way that, you know, again, Miami may not be done losing. I think the schedule's pretty easy the rest of the ride for them, but at 6-2, like, they're not what a lot of people thought they were going to be. Georgia Tech's what I thought they would be. I thought Virginia would be like above middle of the pack, but not great. I didn't think 8-1, 5-0 in conference for Tony Elliott's squad. But of course, Clemson took a dive, SMU took a dive. Duke lost the game against Tulane. Outside of that, like, it's not an unfortunate set of L's for Duke, but it's not what you want them to be. The ACC is not what I hoped that it would be, and the Big 12 is in that same boat. So, if that is the case, then I look at this and think, as Heather Dinich said yesterday on ESPN, the ACC is shaping up to be a one-bid league. Like, it may just be their conference champ. Now, I will say, if the two schools in conference that are at the top of the list right now in Virginia and Georgia Tech both went out, and they are both 11-1, and the loser of that game is 11-2 with a conference championship appearance, and the winner is 12-1 with a conference championship win, I think that there is a chance like a chance that you could get two in. Maybe the last one is like the 11 seed ahead of the group of five champ that checks in at number 12. But like I said, I also think that there is a chance that the Big 12 and the ACC could both be one bid leads at this point. You were looking at a Big 12 that includes BYU and Texas Tech both inside of the rankings, but you don't find another Big 12 team until 7-2 Utah, and I don't think Utah's got the gas behind them. Like, this is one of the problems that you have specifically, I think, in the ACC. One of the big problems that you have in this spot is going to be that the rest of the conference, by not living up to what we wanted it to be, the rest of the conference makes everybody's conference resume and therefore overall resume look weak by comparison. So when you talk about the fact that 7 and 8 are Big 12, but you don't have another Big 12 till 13, and honestly, outside of the ACC champ and the G5 champ, I'm not saying that nobody from 13 down can get in. I'm saying it's going to be real tough. Like, you're going to have to do some damage down the stretch. So this setup is kind of wild to me. So that game is a bit of an eliminator game, in my opinion. There are some other ones that I am very interested in. Last week, and I've got a couple of clips. I don't know if we're going to have time for them today, which I'll feel bad if we don't, because it'll be kind of a waste. But Deion Sanders this past Saturday, after their loss, prevented Colorado players from doing postgame press conferences. He shut the media out after they lost 52-17 to Arizona. You'll remember they lost 53-7 the week after that at Utah. And Deion got asked in the press conference, like, why would you not let the players speak for themselves after this? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I got a protective heart. And I'm kind of have like a, like, father feelings about this, right? Like, you want to protect your boys. And it's like, yeah, I get that, dude. But at the same time, they're adults, right? Like, aren't we treating college football players like adults? I can't imagine a world in which, and granted, it's against the rules, but like, could you imagine a reaction if after an L, an NFL team was like, yeah, our players aren't available? Like, yeah, they're adults. They're, I don't want to use the word professionals, but like, if they're getting NIL and rev share, aren't they kinda? So I find that interesting.
What if they reverse that? What if a coach on either the NFL or college football said, hey, they don't deserve to be out here with the way they played. I'm not going to let them come out here and get their spotlight. They need to get back on the field. They need to concentrate. They need to work harder. And maybe then they'll deserve to be out here.
That's a good question. That's a good question. I got to tell you, like, hypothetically,
Would you feel the same way if they did that?
I can say I don't know the answer to that. Like, on one hand, that's a pretty football dude thing. On the other hand, you know me, I'm a cynical son of a gun. There's a spot that I think I would look at that and be like, dog, really? Really? Like, I don't know. I think I would feel the same way. I think my response would be like, the fans want to hear. They want to know. They want to know what's going on. Why is it happening from the perspective of the guys that are playing? I don't know. I feel like the answer would be yes, I'd feel the same way, but I don't know. Looking down the rest of the college football schedule, Ohio State at Purdue, the Buckeyes favored by 30.5 points in this one. I believe that Ohio State has covered in every game except one so far. I think the one they covered, or they didn't cover, they missed by the hook. So they'll have to win by 31 in this one. This one is in West Lafayette, Indiana. Should be no problem for the Buckeyes. The Citadel at Ole Miss, no line even offered on that game. Ole Miss has got to win that game by all the points because, and we talked about this, Ole Miss maybe has the easiest path to the playoffs of any team that is currently in a playoff spot right now. But I also think that means that Ole Miss likely has the least runway of any team. Like, I don't think there's another loss for Ole Miss available outside of a conference championship game to allow them in. And again, even that might be a question mark because the committee has told us in years gone by, assuming we believe them, that a team that plays in and loses their championship game will not fall, in case of extenuating circumstances, will not fall behind a team that does not participate in a conference championship game at all. But there's going to be a lot of teams that do participate in conference championship games. Would there be enough if Ole Miss was to take another L, and it won't be to the Citadel, pardon me, but if they were to take another L in the regular season and they don't make the SEC title game, would there be enough teams behind them that do that could push them out and they be the first team out after the G5 champ goes in? That is very much on the table. One of the more interesting games of the week, Texas A&M at Mizzou. This game opened at A&M -5.5. It is now at 6.5. I have seen it as low as A&M -7. It is now at 6.5, meaning a little bit of late money coming in on Mizzou, which I got to be honest, like I don't understand. I talked about this game on Tuesday night with Ryan Horvath on BetMGM tonight, and he was like, you know, is there, Brad asked about it, but I was talking about it with Ryan. And he said, is there enough here with that big of a spread? And I said, is 6.5 really a big spread for A&M? Granted, it's at Mizzou, and granted, the other Columbia has been kind of a tough place to play this year. But, like, you know me when I talk about games, when I'm breaking down games, when I'm handicapping games specifically. I look at numbers. I'm looking at offensive and defensive rankings. I'm looking at passer ratings and pass defense ratings, run game ratings, run defense ratings. I'm looking at all of that. And usually somewhere in there, there's a number that I go, okay, this is pushing me in that direction. Or it's pushing me in that direction, but I don't know if it's that big, whatever. This one, there's not. Like sometimes to me, the obvious thing is the right thing. The obvious thing is the right thing. Mizzou with a third string quarterback getting the start, who has played just a handful of snaps at the college football level. I don't see how they hang with A&M. I don't see how 6.5 is the line. Number 9, Oregon at number 20, Iowa. Oregon's only favored by 6.5 in this one too. Now we know what Iowa is, and we know how Iowa likes to play. Iowa's a team that is not going to be explosive offensively. They are a team that wants to bog these games down. That's not to say they can't score. They put up 37 at Wisconsin. They put up 25 at home against Penn State. They put up 41 against PJ Fleck in Minnesota. They can score this year, but they want to bog this game down. They want this game to be boring, slow, a slog, obnoxious. I think Oregon's going to win this game because this is a crucial closing set of games for the Ducks. The Ducks right now are outside of the Big Ten championship slot and looking in. The Ducks right now will have to make something happen. At number 20, Iowa, that's going to be a very important game. After that, Minnesota, they wrap with two ranked games against USC and Washington. We'll see if those two teams are ranked still when we get there. But I got to think this is a game that Dan Lanning takes the leash off the fellas, right? Like, I got to think this is the game where the playbook opens up. They go in the bag and they go, let's get these things dusted off and ready to go, because there are no more losses available for the Ducks either. They are still in a spot where, again, if Ohio State loses to Michigan at the end of the year, the Ducks could theoretically still fight their way into the Big Ten title game, but they're going to have a lot go their way. And if they can't, if they want into the playoffs, because remember, the AP poll versus the college football playoff poll, the AP poll has Oregon at 6, but the college football playoff poll has them all the way down at 9. When you remove Texas and Oklahoma to put in the ACC champ and the G5 champ, who are both outside of the top 12, Oregon is now only 2 spots ahead of teams that will start to get bumped for, especially if the ACC champ doesn't fight their way in, inside of the 2 teams that will have to get bumped to make room for them. This needs to be a style point game for Oregon on the road at Indiana. Syracuse is at Miami. Miami ought to win this game outright and easier. Miami's favored by like 28.5. They will win this game, I think. Here's what I'll say about Cuse. Like, I think that this is another type of game that a Syracuse team is going to look at and be like, we need to make something happen here. Fran Brown has got this team pushing in an interesting direction. Now, keep in mind, as we have mentioned, Steve Angeli, who was the quarterback that was under center when they beat Clemson, is out, obviously, for the year, meaning that they are working with a backup, relatively unknown quarterback in this spot. Syracuse has lost 5 in a row, including a loss to North Carolina, which is not ideal. But is this a game they get up for and challenge Miami through the air? Like, Carson Beck right now, Carson Beck has probably seen his draft stock slip in the past 4 weeks more than anybody except Lenora Sellers at this point. And if Lenora's new OC gets him right, like, maybe Carson Beck stays below him. We'll find out. That game's intriguing. Not in a, I think Miami loses, but more like, who the hell are they and what the hell are they? And I think that that's where the discussion begins and ends. Auburn at number 16, Vanderbilt. The Doors favored by 6.5 in this one. This is another one. Is there an interim coach bump here for the Auburn Tigers? They are 4-5. Vandy favored in this game by the 1.5. They are 7-2, 3-2 in the conference. Vandy is not out of the playoffs at this point. Like, Vanderbilt is a team that has got some quality wins behind them. They've got the South Carolina win. Probably not quality in terms of opponent, but quality in that they came into Willie B and they hung 31 on the Gamecocks. They've got a win over 10 LSU. They've got a win over 15 Mizzou. Again, backup quarterback for Mizzou. I think that's the thing that I point out with Vandy is they've got more ranked wins than everybody in the Big Ten, but I can also find a caveat for those ranked wins that you go, it's not really as impressive as it looks, right? Like, it's not impressive the win over LSU. It's not impressive the win over Mizzou. The South Carolina win was a ranked win. It's not impressive in hindsight. So Vandy is another team that, like, they're going to have to go dunk on Auburn this weekend. But the question mark is, if the narrative is true about Auburn, that that locker room is lost because Hugh Freeze just ain't that guy, and the team rebelled against him. If that report is true, is there an interim coach bounce back for the Auburn Tigers on the road at Vandy? I'll take the Doors, but I don't know. Number 23, Washington at Wisconsin. Cougs favored by 10.5. You got the... It's not really a vote of confidence that Luke Fickell got, right? It's not really a vote of confidence. They gave him one more year.
Kind of. They kind of said, "Hey, man, it's not your fault. It's our fault. But we're gonna fix it, yeah. Right?"
Or is it? There's 14 teams looking for a new head coach, and we ain't gonna be one of the ones that get the top.
What we'll
dogs.
See is if they actually give him the assets they say that they haven't, and if suddenly they do, and he starts winning, well, then there you go.
That's fair. You know what else we got to get to? And I got to find time for this. Maybe this is the last segment. There is a report right now that is picking up steam that Urban Meyer had an interview with Penn State, and Penn State said thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, I've heard all about that. When you were gone yesterday, the person who broke that was actually on that show.
Yeah.
And talking about it, and there's a dispute back and forth about whether
it's
true or not. And I know that Urban Meyer seems to have put forth this trustworthy... I can't even say it.
Thank you.
He's been known to be the most trustworthy person in all of football and maybe the world.
That's it.
And in my mind, I see that blonde dancing. I don't know why.
Apparently, Urban had an interview with Penn State, got called back for a second interview, but bombed it, which is, I'm sure they were like, "Hey, can we trust you around our co-eds?" And Urb was like, "Can we talk about Tim Tebow? Can we talk about Tim Tebow?"
Yeah, I don't think that's how it went. I think it had to do with money or something, and NIL, and
we'll see.
Doing things a certain way.
Cal is at Louisville on Saturday. This game is another one for the Louisville Cardinal that's massively important, minus 18.5 at home. Louisville's not out of the mix for a playoff spot and an ACC title game slide, to be honest with you, but they'll have to get it right, get tight. Florida State, Clemson at 7 p.m. The Tigers at home favored by just 1.5 over the Noles. We're going to talk about that one. LSU, Alabama at 7:30. That's a game, another game preseason. It's like that might be a game of the year candidate. Instead, Bama favored by 9.5, but does LSU have an interim coach bump? Much like Hugh Freeze at LSU or at Auburn, does LSU hate Brian Kelly? The answer on the sideline has looked like yes for like 3 weeks. Could they bounce back? Is that a spot to maybe backdoor cover for LSU? Navy at Notre Dame wraps up our ranked games. When we come back, current, reigning, defending, undisputed, WWE Women's Champion Jade Cargill is in studio. We will talk to her about her career in WWE. After that, Rashad Beard, moving the chains to talk high school football playoffs. Denton Day to talk college football, and we wrap it up all after that on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you, and now joining us in studio. Could not be more excited about it. Joining us in studio is your reigning, I've never gotten to say this before, but your reigning queen of the ring and your current defending and undisputed WWE Women's Champion, the iconic Jade Cargill in studio. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I mean, you might need to be an announcer. That was really good.
Look, you get me a job, I will show up tonight. I will be yours personally if I can get a gig.
Well, I think you need to call WWE and get that done ASAP because
hey,
that
hey,
was
Stephanie,
phenomenal. That was phenomenal and new. WWE Women's Champion. Let's go.
I love it. A former two-time Women's Tag Team Champion as well. And ladies and gentlemen, been hanging on to the strap for less than a week. So fresh, great one. I don't know if you noticed, somebody else's plates are still on it.
Yeah. It's been neglected for a while, but we're going to take care of that. She's found a new home and she loves it.
I love it.
Yeah, you might just keep your hands. Oh, well, the way it's positioned on screen, you can't see that anyway.
You can't see it anyway. It's trash. Right. I don't want you to see it anyway.
I talked to you about this before we came on the show.
We have a screwdriver. Hands. We can get a screwdriver down the hall. You can just,
no,
like,
I'm
going to
let them do their job at production.
Okay.
We're going to let
all
them
right.
do their job.
I respect that. We have had a number of current champs come through. Gunther came through when he was champ. Damian Priest has been here when he was a champion. And all the fellas predominantly, like, they carry their title in a backpack. You rolled up into this son of a gun with that bad boy on the shoulder just to show it off. Talk
yes.
to me a little bit about what it's like to go day to day as the WWE Women's Champion.
Oh man, I mean, I'm just starting, right? But listen, I've always had champ written all across my forehead, my body, my everything. That's what I am. That's what I do. It feels astonishing, you know. I'm here to raise the stakes. I'm here to elevate this title. That's what I plan to do. That's what I'm going to do. And I don't want to carry my baby in a backpack. I don't want her suffocating. This is my child. This is legacy. This is going to do nothing but elevate the women's division and the women's locker room. I'm not hiding her. Why would I do that?
I love it.
Yeah, you absolutely should not. Speaking of not hiding, I want to say my favorite entrance in all of WWE is your entrance. How much input did you get in making that come to be?
I would say probably 40%. Hunter is very creative when it comes to our entrances. He is very hands-on, and he wants the best for us. He understands the whole production of things and what they can do and what they cannot in certain arenas. So I would say he would have the majority of his hands into my entrance. I didn't think it was going to be that awesome. I didn't know until I seen it on the Big Tron how astonishing it was. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. Because at first I was like, this is kind of, it's different than what I'm normally doing. I'm used to like moving a little bit, swaying a little bit. So the fact they wanted me to be more, have more stature and just have more posture within that, I was proud to do it. I was excited to do it.
So it is undeniable that when you are on a camera, the kids call it aura.
Oof.
You have it every time you come on a camera, and it is from the entrance. It is into the ring. It is the outfits, the Halloween costume. Absolutely electric,
hey.
By the way.
Thank you.
How is that just something that's like part of you? Is that something you've had to work on, develop this ability to just whenever you're on the screen, be the centerpiece?
No, it's something I've embodied my whole life. I just had people around me that just breathe so much life into me. I think it's just something you're born with. And that's what separates me from a lot of people. On top of that, I think the word aura has been overused
Thank
these
you.
Days.
Thank
I feel
you.
Like it's been overused these days. Everybody has aura these days. Like what they need to redefine the word aura these days because it's been overused lately.
So we've had R-Truth on, and we ask him how he stays in the kind of shape that he's in. You're in amazing shape.
Thank you.
How is this? R-Truth told us he's been that way since high school. Is this something you had to work towards, or is this, yeah?
Ooh, I would say it's genetics in play, but also I work my butt off. I'm in the gym 5 days a week. I'm in there 2 hours. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I do a lower half. Tuesday, Thursday, upper half. I do cardio 4 days a week. That's not even counting what we do in the ring. I eat fairly well, but understand, like, if I eat that cookie, I make sure I get up the next morning and I'm working it off. Like, so, I take it seriously, guys.
So what you're telling me is right now the only difference between me and Jay Cargill is that I don't do anything after I eat the cookie.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay. That sounds about right. But listen, I'm not going to be this age forever, right? So I need to eat something. My metabolism is going to continue to slow down, guys.
And cookies taste good. And she said exactly. She said a cookie.
Not a bag of cookies.
Not yes. Like a whole, yeah.
Jay Cargill, you drove here, you said, this morning from Atlanta because that's home. Lonzo's from the OHIO initially. I've grown up in the Southeast. I consider the Southeast the wrestling capital of the world. There's great wrestlers from everywhere. There's great shows everywhere. Europe's doing an incredible job in embracing and celebrating. But to me, the Southeast is the cradle. It's where it's got to start. It's where it's grown into what it's grown into. What is it like for you to be centered in Atlanta, but to see Greenville, South Carolina selling out the Bonscore Wellness Arena and all these great Southeastern venues that have so much history behind them, to be able to step in as the new women's champ and add your name and your face to all the history in the Southeast over the years.
It means everything, you know, and being that I'm actually a Florida native. So being that I'm from Florida and just like having my name in history books, it means the world to me. I want to do nothing but enrich the community and to add to all of that, you know, the Rhodes family, everybody like that. I want to do nothing but enrich the youth. It means the world to me, to be honest.
As a little kid, the only way that my grandpa was much older than me, the one way that we really connected was with wrestling. I would go over, he was bedridden, but I'd go over every Saturday night, every night the wrestling was on, and I would sit with him and we would watch wrestling and talk wrestling. You got into wrestling a little bit later. When did the bug hit you and get you where you knew that, hey, this is something I need to do?
Growing up, I watched wrestling like everybody else. I seen China. So I grew up, I used to actually get picked on about my stature and my size, and I seen someone like China go out there and have that aura and just own it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I've never seen a woman that looked like similar to me, because I'm a kid, right? But the fact that she was out there, she was owning it, I just never seen a woman of that stature. And I was like, I want to do this. But again, I got away from it and I went off and played basketball. Mark Henry found me and I went to a tryout, and I wasn't naturally good at something for once, but I love to take a challenge. I was like, okay, this is great. This is something I'm not naturally good at. I'm going to keep it going and keep it going because I love to take a challenge, and that's what I've been doing.
So I want to talk about a lot of that. Mark Henry, let's start there, is a friend of this show. We have had him on many times, hung out with him at SEC Media Days down in Atlanta, as a matter of fact. Love that guy. He has always been just incredible. He discovered you. He got you started. Talk to me about that relationship with the World's Strongest Man and how he helped turn you into the modern WWE Women's Champion.
He is my wrestling father. If anything goes wrong, he will call me out. He will not let me breathe. And he's like, he's someone I can lean on if I feel like, you know, things are hitting the fan. He's someone I go to for advice, but also he's very stern and very hard on me because he wants me to be a great. And, you know, I'm a reflection of him. And he would have never co-signed his name on my bill if he felt like I couldn't stand up to the odds. So our relationship is very knit tight. Like I say, he's my wrestling father. And like I said, I would never fail this man ever.
I love it. WWE Women's Champion Jade Cargill here in studio on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. You mentioned a minute ago being the women's champ and having in China, who was one of the greatest of all time, somebody that you could look up to and see yourself in. I have thoroughly enjoyed the increase in diversity in wrestling. Yes. Women's wrestling are main eventing WrestleMania at this point. We are seeing wrestlers from all over the world now flock to WWE. It's an international roster, and there's representation for everybody. How important has it for you as both a superstar and as a champion to be that reflection, whether it's for women in wrestling, it is for black women in wrestling, it is for whoever might see a little bit of themselves in you like you did in China.
Yeah.
Does that enter your brain when you are performing, and what does it mean to you?
All the time. I mean, as a black woman in wrestling, I mean, I feel like you can say, like, I'm a minority within it. And the fact that Naomi and I had a non-title match at WrestleMania, I think that was the first, with no stipulations, no anything. I think that was the first, and that was a great accomplishment that I put in my books, and I was really happy that we both put into our books, and we are very happy with that. At that, you know, to have the big three out there and to represent all, not just little black girls, but brown, black, white, just to go out there and be a girl, to go out there and show out and to embrace women's wrestling. And then to be a part of the second women's evolution in Atlanta, Georgia this past year was huge for me. And, you know, we didn't have drawn out storylines for that show, but we went out there, we all collectively looked at each other and said, hey, we're going to go out there, we're going to make some names, we're going to kick some butt, and we're going to prove everybody wrong. Because everyone thought that that show was going to be kind of like a sideshow. Like, it's a sideshow. There's no storylines built up. But we, all us women, we got together and we did the best we could. And I believe that's one of the biggest, well, the best PLEs that we've had that year. Well, this year.
All right. Speaking of girls, I've noticed, and I don't know if Rob has noticed this, I don't know if anyone in this room has noticed this, there was kind of an attitude change last week in the ring. It was a little subtle.
Oof.
Do you talk to your daughter ahead of time? To let her know about, you know, when this sort of thing is going to happen?
No, I mean, she knew she was going to be probably on camera, but that's it. I remember when I had a match with Naya, and Naya went over to my daughter and said something to her. Nothing was prompted. She did that all on her own. I love seeing her raw reaction to things because she talks a lot. Like, she talks a lot. She talks a lot. She's like, I'll do this. And she actually cuts promos. So I'm like, okay, let me see your authentic reaction. And I was very proud when she stood up to Naya. And Naya's not a small woman, you know? Like, she's a tall woman, and she has big stature. And the fact that my daughter was able to stand up to her and defend me, I was so proud of that particular moment that she was able to say, no, my mom doesn't. I was like, yes, this is great. This is great. I love this for her. But no, she's not prompted for anything. I let her be her raw, authentic self.
And the apple don't fall from the tree.
Yeah.
I love to see that. Let me ask you, outside of wrestling, and this is 1,000% me being selfish.
All right.
I'm really excited the X-Men are coming back to the MCU, and I know you've been thrown out a million times. Are we going to get Jade Cargill as Storm? I know she's a huge influence on you and your life. You look the part. You've got the chops. I know you can't promise me it's going to happen, but promise me it's going
to
happen.
I need Marvel to see this. Like,
please.
I embody it. Listen,
Kevin, listen
my
to us.
Character, literally, I want you all to understand, like, I control the weather around me in the ring. I get fans to stand up. I get them to stand down. I get them to boo for me. I get them to cheer for me. I create the weather around me. That's what I do. My entire character embodies her. If you guys don't see, there's no one else closer. Like, I don't have to get a stunt double. I don't have to get any of those things. This is what I do. I breathe it. I'm here, Marvel. Whenever
Kevin,
you guys are ready. Whenever
listen
you're ready.
To, listen
whenever
to
you're
us,
ready.
Kevin.
They don't have to do much. We don't need all that extra stuff. What is it? GCI? Is it GCI? Whatever it
CGI.
Is.
CGI. Yeah.
CGI. Thank you. CGI. We don't need that. This is natural. This is it, guys. We don't need none of that.
And last
authentic.
I checked, they're still filming a lot of that in Atlanta. Yeah. So, I mean,
I know.
Yeah.
I heard they were moving to UK, too. I heard they were moving to UK too. I don't know why.
Well,
but
it's too bad you're not used to traveling all over the world then.
Exactly.
Is it?
And I'm pretty sure WWE would love that.
Yeah, so would we. Jade Cargill, current WWE Women's Champion, joining us here on the show. She picked up the strap off of Tiffany Stratton last Saturday at Saturday Night Main Event. She will be in Greenville, South Carolina tonight for Friday Night SmackDown for the first time as champ in the GVL. It is phenomenal to have you on the show. You are
Thank
incredible.
You.
Cannot wait to see you tonight and where your career goes from here. Thanks for the time.
No problem. You guys, like he said, check us out tonight at the Wells. Check us out at 7:30. Tickets start at $30 on Ticketmaster.com. Come check me out. Come check Cody Rose out. Come check Naya and also the tag team champ Charlotte Flair. come check us out, guys. We're going to put on a phenomenal show for you all.
Who's next up to catch the smoke, though?
Whoever wants it. I mean, I'm here. I'm gracious. I give TV time. Let me give you some primetime TV. That's what I do. I give charity.
Hell yeah.
Charity.
Jade Cargill, WWE Women's Champion here on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate. We are back right after this.
All right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So,
I don't know. Should I count that? I mean, you're sick, but so am I. So
yeah, we'll count it. It's 2-1. Yeah,
all right.
It's 2-1 on Friday. You know what? I'll take the L today. Let me say this real quick before we move on first and foremost. Jade Cargill's awesome. She is, and I say this with all sincerity, one of the nicest people I've ever met. Like, she was, I walked down to pick her up from the lobby, opened the door, and she was standing there with the belt, and I'm like, God dang, you are shredded. And she was just the nicest human being in the world because I'm like, you know, if you wanted to, you could murder me. And she didn't. She was very sweet. She was very kind. At the same time, would not want to offend or offset Jade Cargill. She's very shredded.
Yeah, a lot of fun. You know what? She has an infectious personality.
She does.
And what a joy to interview someone like that. It's someone that's not kind of ho-hum.
Yeah.
She was fun, and that was cool. It really was cool.
And I'm going to go ahead and say if she is cast as Storm as an X-Men, we take credit for it.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't even want the royalty.
You can tell she wants it. She wants it really bad.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. Phenomenal interview again.
I wanted to ask her about the cut, but I didn't want to get hurt.
It's fair. I also wanted to ask her about the feud. The one thing I will say I think I missed out on there was, just for time constraints, I would have loved to have talked to her about the feud with Naomi, which was one of the best things they've done in a long time. Like, her return after she got jumped backstage to show up and stare down Naomi, which is absolutely iconic. So we appreciate our friend Stephanie, friend of the show from the WWE, Stephanie, for setting that up. Thanks to Jade Cargill for coming by.
Hey, shout out to Dewey on the stream for being an echo chamber of, you know, like 40, 50 years of people saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. It is what it is. And yet, as fake as it is, there'll be about 18,000 people packed into the Montecor Wellness Arena tonight to give their money and watch it. So, working on Rashad Beard. Hopefully he will join us here in just a moment from now. We'll have about 9, 10 minutes with Rashad to talk about the Packers. If we cannot get him in here, we may shift up. Denton Day going to have to push back to the last segment of the show. He's got some car issues. We'll have Denton on the phone. So if we can't get Rashad lined up here, we'll see if we can get him on at 9:20. We've got the fellas of the Moving the Chains pod. They'll set you up for the first round of the high school football playoffs.
This is tough for you, not having a voice yesterday, and just basically everything being harried to the point where it's just a little bit out of breath, you know? It's awesome, though.
So let's start with, I had to go downstairs to get him, bring him back up. And when we're coming up the stairs, I'm like, I don't know why this is.
Why did you go elevator, dude?
Because I'm not about to, in front of the U.S. Women's Champion, be like, stairs.
But I mean, you know, to be being, I think being a gracious host, you take them to the elevator and bring, I'm just saying.
Came up the stairs.
You get elevator time.
And for whatever reason, whenever we have professional wrestlers in, I just decide in my brain, I'm like, I still got it. So we get to the stairs.
Oh, come on.
And I have, there's three of them. There's three of them. So I have to open the door, but then jump in front and get up because we have another lock on the top door. So I let him in, and then I have to pass him on the stairs. I'm like, excuse me, guys. And I decide, for whatever reason, I'm going to bound up the stairs like Rocky right before he takes on Clubber Lang. Just like jump to the top. We get to the top. I unlock the door. I let him pass. And then as they're walking down the hallway in front of me, it's just like, get it together, jackass. Get it together. So we got it together. And phenomenal.
Hey, at least you didn't fall. Because that would have been embarrassing.
Dude, it would have been. But no, she was very sweet.
Especially when she reached down and just one-handed picked you up.
Dude, she could have one-handed picked me up if I was standing up, which was awesome. So, no, thanks to Jade. Thanks to Stephanie. Thanks to everybody for setting it up. It was fantastic. Great interview. Great interview. We, TBH, like, we didn't really know what to expect from Jade Gardkill because,
you know,
like,
we never do, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
we rarely do. There are some that, like, I've had interactions with them in the past, or like they're so prevalent on social media, you kind of have an idea of what they're going to go with. Had no idea what to expect out of Jade Cargill, and she was fantastic. Like, she loves this stuff. It was great to talk to her. All right, here's what we've got coming up for you. Final hour of the show is full because we got the late jump. Rashad Beard is going to push back. So we'll come back with the fellas from the Moving the Chains podcast to start the next hour. They will set you up for round number one of Friday Night Lights. High school playoff football begins this evening. We will talk to the boys from the Moving the Chains pod next. They'll give you their thoughts, a little preview of all the games around the upstate. Then at 9:20, Rashad Beard will join us from the Panther Nation podcast. The Panthers with the shock win this past weekend on the road at the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk to him about that win. We will also get you set up for this weekend's contest as they host the NFC South rival New Orleans Saints. Then at 9:40, Denton Day is going to be on the show. He is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM Radio and a host and producer on the BetMGM Network. Denton Day will join us at 9:40. That is how we will close out the show. If you have anything that you want us to talk about, whether it is a question for the fellas from the Moving the Chains pod, whether it is a question for Rashad Beard about the Panthers, whether it is a question for Denton Day about college football, all of that is up for you. Text it to 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. We will get them on the air. Do not have room for phone calls in the final hour of the show, unfortunately, but we will have the ability to read your text or your tweets at the Rob Brown Show if you want to get at us in that direction.
I just want to say really quick how cool it is to be on a show and work with someone who enjoys wrestling as much as I do. And the fact that we are able to, I'm able to turn on the TV and go, I've talked to them, I've talked to them, I've talked to her, I've talked to him. It's something teenage me, when I talked about my grandpa earlier, never would have thought in a millions of years would get the chance to do. And whether you're into wrestling or not, a lot of people are,
yep.
And it's an honor to be able to talk to these superstars.
They sell out regularly, 80,000+ seat arenas for two nights in a row with regularity. Like it just is what it is. So hey, man, listen, if it's not your thing, that's okay. That's why we're going to do a lot more. We got all football in the final hour of the show. All three levels of football represented in the final hour. We're open with high school ball. Then we'll do some pro ball. Then we'll get to college ball for the weekend. We do a little bit of anything and everything on the show. So if, hey, that one segment's not for you, that's okay. Stick around because there's a very good chance that the very next segment will be for you. All right, let's run to a break. When we come back here in just a minute, the fellas from the Moving the Chains pod will be here. They will get you set up for our first round of high school playoff football starting this evening. That is coming up after this. Then Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast. Then Denton Day from Sirius XM. All of that after. I was going to make another championship joke here, but I got to tell you, after standing next to Jade Cargill, like, Zoe and I are just some dudes. So here's a dude with a sports flash.
I'm okay with being a dude. She was awesome. The Denver Broncos defeated the Las Vegas Raiders last night in an absolute score fest. It was beyond belief. 10-7. The Broncos are now 8-2 on the season Don't believe the hype. Bo Nix went 16-28 with one touchdown and two picks, and the Broncos had only 84 rushing yards. Sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? However, they held Geno Smith to 16-26 for 143 yards, no touchdowns and one pick. How did he not win? I don't know. The Atlanta Braves have picked up the option on starting pitcher Chris Sale, paying him $18 million to remain on the roster in 2026. Sale, who won the 2024 NL Cy Young Award, went 7-5 with a 2.58 ERA and 165 strikeouts across 125.2 innings of this past season. And former NBA player and assistant coach Damon Jones pleaded not guilty to charges that he provided sports bettors with non-public information about injuries to LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.